Okay, today's daf is Mem Hey. We're going to start at Mem Dalet Amubet at the two dots. Minayin Shekiper Lo Viduyo. I forgot to mention yesterday, I saw something very interesting on Facebook. Alex Israel, who's a rabbi in Alon Shvut, he posted, he was asking if anyone knew of any literary connection, but he was basically making the connection himself. I didn't see that anybody responded that they had seen something written about it. But he wanted to compare Achan and the Jesus story. And what he said is that there's a very interesting parallel, because Achan, what happens in Achan, the people are punished for the sins of Achan. And it's the opposite of the Christian, right, that Jesus was being killed for the sins of the people, right? He was innocent and he was being killed for the sins of the people, versus Achan, where it's the people are accepting responsibility because they didn't do anything, right? As opposed to someone dying innocently, right? It wasn't his fault. Anyway, he tried to make some sort of comparison there. I thought it was interesting to point out because they're juxtaposed in the text. Okay. Minayin Shekiper Lo Viduyo. So how do we know that Achan, after he confessed, was actually received kapara? Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shekiper Lo Viduyo, Shenemar, Vayomer Lo Yoshua, Mar Chartanu Yarkacha, Hashem Hayom Hazeh. Remember, we saw this in the Mishnah. This is now a Braita with the same idea. Hayom Hazeh Ata Achur, V'yata Achur Lo Olam Haba. Okay, that you're right. It was only today that God is causing trouble to you, but it means in the future, in Olam Haba, you'll be okay. Uktiv, Ubnei, and here, why did we quote the Braita? Because the Mishnah already said that, because now the Braita adds something additional. Uktiv, Ubnei Zerach, Zimri, Ve'etan, Ve'heman, Ve'kalkal, Ve'dardar. These are the five sons of Zerach. Kulan Chamisha. My Kulan Chamisha. Why does it say, it's adding up how many sons they were? We could do that ourselves. Why does it say that? Kulan chamishayin la'olam haba. All five of them are going la'olam haba. What does this have to do with Achan? Achan wasn't mentioned there. K'tiv Zimri u'k'tiv Achan. Okay, so now we're saying that, well, the truth is we didn't need to go on to the Gemara. The Gemara already assumed at this point that you knew this, which is that Zimri, they're assuming, is the same as Achan. Why? Because there's another pasuk that says Achan is the son of Zerach. So they assume that he must be one of these sons, and they assume it's Zimri. Why do they assume it's Zimri? Well, we'll see in a minute. We see this a number of times, and we've had this before, where we have a character who appears with two different names. So, in other words, we use this pasuk to say, Zimri must be Achan, in which case he gets Olam Haba, because it says Kulam Chamisha, which they darshan, all five go to Olam Haba. Now, there's a machloket about, whenever we have two names, it's always which is the real name and which is the made-up name, okay? There's an assumption that there's a made-up name, that the root of that name has something to do with the character, or that name itself has something to do with it. So there's a machloket Rav and Shmuel about this. Chad amar Achan Shmo, v'lama yikro Shmo Zimri, sha'asa ma'aseh Zimri. He was called Zimri because he did a ma'aseh Zimri. What's that? Ah, we saw yesterday he slept with an Aram or Asa, just like Zimri and Cosby in the Pinchas story in the Torah. The Lama Nikra Shmo, V'chan Amar Zimri Shmo, and one said, no, really, his real name was Zimri. But his, what do you call it? His pen name or nickname? Well, yeah, I was thinking, right, or there's some better word. Anyway, the Lama Nikra Shmo Achan, She'iken Avonotehem Shel Yisrael. Iken is like from the Lashon of a snake. He tied a snake around the people, like to kind of tie them up within their averot, okay? And that's why the people were punished. Okay, now we have this section at the very end of the Mishnah that ime no yodea lihitvadot, right? Then you say, right, all my avonot should be forgiven. And then, what if you really didn't do what you're getting killed for? You should say chutz me'avon zeh, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then Chachamim said, no, you can't say that. Okay, which we're going to get to today, why they really thought you couldn't say that. They said, if you say that, then everyone's going to say that. The question is, though, who cares if everybody says it? So what? What does it matter? So they say, right, linakotatzman, everyone's going to say it, linakotatzman. So the Gemara questions, v'inakotzman, so what? So what if everybody who's about to get killed tries to clear their name and says, I'm going to be, you know, that should be my vidoy for everything, chutz mi avon zeh. We don't want to create a bad name. This goes back to what we keep coming up over and over and over again. We don't want people to look at the courts and say, oh my God, I can't believe this court convicted someone innocent, or the edim were liars. And therefore, we don't want it to become standard practice that everybody says this, because it'll look bad. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh ba'adam achad sheyatza lehareg. Amar, okay, so now we're going to have a story. Somebody came was about to get killed, he said, "Im yesh bi avon ze, lo tehemi tati kapara l'chol avonotai." He says, if I'm really guilty, then this death is not going to be mechaper alai. It will not atone for my sins. Vim ein bi avon ze, and if I'm not guilty, tehemi tati kapara l'chol avonotai, then my death should be a kapara on all my avonot. Why was he saying this? Because clearly he wasn't guilty, and he wanted to say, I'm going to convince you, I'm so not guilty that I'm willing to say that if I did this, I don't want to receive any atonement. Ubeiti b'chol Yisrael, and then he continues to say like this, and beitim b'chol Yisrael menukin, okay, if I don't have this avon, right, so then it should be kapara for me, my death, and the beitim and all of the people are innocent also, wasn't their fault, v'ha'edim lo tehelehem mechila la'olam, but those witnesses who lied about me, in other words, it wasn't the court's fault, they listened to good witnesses, right, but the witnesses, that, so get to see what happens to this story. So the edim should not have mechila la'olam. וכששמעו חכמים בדבר אמרו להחזירו, sorry, אמרו להחזירו אי אפשר שכבר נגזרה הגזרה. We can't bring this back to court because it's already been decided, and we can't go based on the fact that he made this declaration. That's not testimony, that's not proof. אלא יהרג ויהי קולר תלוי בצוואר עדים. Okay, he should die, and the edim are the ones who are going to have to pay the price, right? They'll have a death threat on their lives, or they'll, you know, they'll end up getting hung somehow. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this is so obvious, why did they need to say? Kol kamine lo tzricha, I'm sorry, Pshita kol kamine, it's obvious. So lo tzricha de kahadu behu sade. Now they mean, even in a case if the witnesses changed and said, they came forward at that point and said, where we lied, they still can't go back. So now why is this? So first of all, the Gemara, you might think, why shouldn't we listen to the Edim? But to the Gemara, it's obvious we don't listen to the Edim, in which case it's also not a chidush. Why is it obvious? We've seen this before. It's a very important halachic concept. Once the Edim testify, they cannot take back their testimony. The only way the witness's testimony can be canceled is if other witnesses come and either they contradict, in which case we throw everybody out of court, or if they become edim zomimim, because people say, we were with you on that day and you couldn't possibly, then the edim actually get punished. But witnesses themselves can't undo what they said. Why is that? Goes back to what we saw when they threatened the witness, when they were trying to scare the witnesses. What did they say to them? You know, maybe you won't want to testify because you think, I don't want to be responsible for this person's death. Right? There's a fear that edim, let's say they come forward, they say this guy killed, and then they see the guy's about to get killed, and they feel responsible. I don't want to be responsible for this person's death. So they come back to the court and they say, listen, he didn't really do it. We're worried that that's going to happen, and therefore we tell witnesses, know that when you say it, that's the end, and you have no choice, you can't go back on it. So therefore, in this case, if the edim lied, and they come forward at the end, and before the guy's about to get killed, and they say, we want to take back our testimony, they're not allowed. Because we don't know why they're taking back their testimony. And even though this guy made this declaration, also doesn't mean anything, right? None of this allows us to really figure out what the truth is, because there could be all sorts of ulterior motives. So therefore, they're saying it's also pshita. So what are the answer? Lo tzricha da'af al gav de'kayave tame lemiltayu, ki ahu ma'aseh de'baya michsa. It says, even if they give a reason for what they're doing, and they said, you know, a reason for why they lied, and they said, well, somebody, whatever, okay? There's some reason why they lied. Then, still we don't allow it, okay? In other words, you might think if they don't give a good reason, so, but even if they give a good reason, they're not allowed to take back their testimony. There's a long story here. I'm not going to get into it because we really don't have time, but you can read it in Rashi or the Shanstein. They have a long thing about what this case of the Baya Michsa was, and it leads into the story of Shimon Shetach, which we're going to get to today, where Shimon Shetach killed all the witches. There's a very famous story about Shimon Shetach killing all these female witches. And it came up in the story. I'll kind of try to give you a brief synopsis. But there was a tax collector who was a really bad guy, and he died the same day that some great tzaddik died, and a great chacham. And all of a sudden, there was some, the enemies came, and everybody left the bodies. And when they, the one talmid was hiding to make sure that the rabbi's body was, you know, watched over, and that they wouldn't get confused. And the people all came back after the enemies left, and the bodies got confused, and the Talmud tried to tell them, no, 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 but they didn't care, and they buried the Rav like in a big busha, and the that guy in a big ceremony, and then they say, you know, what did he do wrong, this chacham, that he had this bizayon, the Talmud says, and what did this rasha do that he got the big reward? And so he doesn't know, and his Rebbe comes to him in a dream, the guy who died, and he says, don't worry, because I'm going to have big kavod in Gan Eden, and he's going to have a place in Gehenom, okay? And, or that's where we are right now. I'm hanging out in Gan Eden, and he's in Gehenom. And then, I said I wasn't going to tell you the story, but I'm going to anyway. And then they say, so, you know, what was I punished for, and why did I get buried? You know, why did you get, and as the Rav explains what happened, why he was zoche to get this big thing. I don't remember all the details, so I'm glancing at Rashi. So they said one time he made this big si'uda for the Sara'ir, the bad guy, and the Sara'ir didn't show up, and he gave it to the poor people. And because of that, he was zoche to have this. And what happened with him? Why was he?
It says in English, the whole story is here.
Right.
They said the sage once heard people disparaging the Torah, and he didn't speak up.
Ah, okay. So people were speaking negatively about the Torah, and he didn't speak up. Okay. So then he says, how long is the guy going to be in Gehenom like that? So he says, until Shimon ben Shetach dies and comes in his place. Shimon Chetach was like a big Talmid Chacham. So what's the issue? He says, why is that? He says, because there's these machshefot, and he's not doing din for them. Okay, so basically, this guy's taking up a place in Gehenom. When somebody else needs to come in, who's going to be Shimon ben Shetach, that's when this Rasha will be removed from Gehenom, from his suffering. So what happens? The guy goes to Shimon ben Shetach and tells him, you know, what this rabbi told him in his dream. So Shimon ben Shetach goes, he gets 80 bachurim, these strong guys, and it was a rainy day, and he gives them each a kad with a talit inside, okay, a jug with a talit, and he says, wait outside, and he says, when I tell you, I want you to all go in, you big guys, everybody pick up one of the 80 machshefot, and when you pick them up off the ground, they'll no longer have their powers. Their witch powers will be eliminated. Right, put on the talit and pick them up. Okay, so Shimon ben Shetach goes in. He walks into where they are, and he says, "You know, they say, what are you doing here?" He says, "Oh, I'm a witch too, and I'm gonna, you know, not a witch, but maybe a wizard, right? And I'm gonna basically, you know, let's see who's better." So they said, "So what do you have?" So he brings in these 80 guys wrapped in talitot. They pick up the witches, and the witches no longer have powers, and he takes them out and he kills them all. Okay? And then what happens? Their relatives, okay, wanted to, right, two of them, one second. Ah, so two of them wanted to get back at Shimon ben Shetach for this, two of the relatives of the witches. So what do? Here comes the connection, if you're wondering where this story is connected. They came and they said that the son of Shimon ben Shetach was Chayav Mita and Nigmar Dino. Okay, he says they already convicted him in some other court. Okay, and they, oh, sorry, no, no, no. They testified against him that he's Chayav Mita, and they finished the court, right, and they sentenced him to death. And then, the relatives came forward, and they convicted the son of Shimon ben Shetach, and then they're about to take him out to get killed, and he says this line, the same thing. And then they were chozer b'hem, and they explained why they did it, just for revenge, and there was nothing they can do. And the son of Shimon ben Shetach was killed. Okay, that's your story for today. Continuing on. Mishnah. Haya rachok mi beit haskila arba amot. They're 4 amot away from the beit haskila. What do? Mafshitino to'et bigadav. They strip him of clothes. Why do they strip him of clothes? Because the assumption is, it's a little degrading, but that's not the issue. The reason is they want to make the death quicker. If he has no clothes on, he'll die quicker. It'll be less painful for him. Ha'ish mechassino tomi lefanav. The man, they cover him in front. Vahisha milefanav me'achareha. They cover up both in the front and in the back for its new purposes. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim ha'ish niskal arum ve'ein ha'isha niskelet aruma. They don't actually take the woman's clothes off and then cover her and to cover her private parts. No, she actually is fully clothed. Okay, so we have a machloket Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim about whether the woman is fully clothed or whether she's only just covered up on her, on the you know, the assumption is they just put like a little cloth on over the private parts. So the man is just has a little cloth covering his private parts, and the woman, and only in the front, and the woman either in the front and the back, or she's fully clothed. That's the machloket. So now we're going to trace this machloket. Okay, we're going to have our Mishnah. We're going to have a braita that says pachot yoter, the same thing. We're going to give the reasons, and then we're going to ask a question and say they appear in a different Mishnah in Sota as seeming to say the opposite things. If you remember, we actually learned this whole thing in Sota. Tana Rabbanan, ha'ish mechassino to perek acha milifana, v'isha shnei prakim be'em milifana be'em milachareha. Okay, exactly what this perek achad and shnei prakim, is it two cloths, or is it two areas in her body, right? The two parts that are not sanur in her body, her breasts and her private parts, and be'em milifana be'em milachareha. Okay, both in front and in back, or does shnei prakim just mean one cloth in front and one cloth in back, whereas the man only has one in front? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It's basically the same as our Mishnah, just a little bit more detailed. My time, Ayu de Rabbanam. What's their reasoning? Amar kra, viragmu oto. My oto. Why does it say viragmu oto? It just could say viragmu or something. Ilem oto velo ota. If you want to say him and not her, v'haktiv. In other words, that only a man will get killed and a woman won't get stoned. It says in a different pasuk, right? They take out the man or the woman who's obligated in stoning. So obviously, women get stoned. Ela mayoto. What does it mean? Oto. Oto below ksuto him, but not anything else. Just his body. Okay, we saw this drasha before. Ha ota. But then, what is he darshan here, Rabbanan? But if it's oto below ksuto, what do they assume? Ota does get stoned, but not without her clothing. Ota biksuta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, oto beloksuto, lo shnayish, lo shnayisha. Oto is just the general, right? We learn from there also for women. So now, that's technical, right? Where do they get it from the pasuk? But the assumption is that there's some logic standing behind their shitot. Lememra, should we assume from here? De Rabbanan chai shed lehirhura. What are Rabbanan worried about? They make a public spectacle of the person that they're stoning. If the women are naked, what's it going to cause? People to have thoughts about her. So we're going to say that Rabbanan, who were worried and said we should cover her up, are worried about it causing men to have thoughts about women. Rabbi Yehuda, who lets the woman be mostly naked, it's true her privates are covered, but she's mostly naked, lo chayish lehir hura. Now, if you want to say that, that's exactly the opposite of where the shitot hold in Sota, okay? I made a chart so you can kind of follow in case you lose the flow a little. V'ha ipcha shamin an lehu. But we see the exact opposite in Sota, ditznan. Ha kohen ochez bibagadeha. He grabs the Sota woman's clothes. Im nikru'u nikru'u, v'im nifrimu nifrimu, ad shemegale et liba v'soteret sa'ara. Okay, the Tanakama holds, which would be chachamim, that the kohen grabs her clothes. If they rip, they rip. If they tear, they tear. What is nifrimu? Most of them say either they rip along the seams rather than tear in the middle or something. Maybe that's one option. Ad shemegale et liba, until her heart is exposed. V'soteret sa'ara, and he lets down her hair. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, which would show what? That we don't care about tzniut, and that's chachamim. And in our case, right, we're worried about not really tzniut, but lihurhura. And in our case, what did we say? The rabbi said she's not eruma. So in the sota, we don't care if she becomes naked. But in the stoning, we do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haya liba na'eh, lo haya megaleh. If she was very pretty, attractive, then he wouldn't reveal her chest area. Im haya sa'ara na'eh, and if her hair was beautiful, he wouldn't undo it. Why? Presumably because it's going to cause hirurim among the men who are watching this ceremony. So now we're going to have an answer for why it would be different. We're going to have two answers, one by Rabba and one by Rava. I'm a Rabba. Hatam is there, which means in the Sota case. Hainutam Hashem atetzemi beitin zaka'a v'yitgaruba perchei kuna. We're worried, Doc, about here who are there because she might be innocent, in which case, after her clothes get torn off and she's naked there in front of everybody, then she's going to go out, right? She's going to be exempt. She's going to walk out. She's still a married woman. She goes back to her husband. And these other Pirchei Kuna, because that's who was around that saw the young Kohanim, are going to go, you know, want to be with her. Ha 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 miktalav. And in the stoning case, there's no concern. She's getting killed. So no one's going to see her after this. She's dead. Bechitema, but you might say Ati leitgaruye ba'achriniyata. This is reminiscent of what we just saw with Achav, right? He wasn't so aroused by his wife, so what did she do? She put up zonot there to get him more aroused for her purpose, right? She put these statues, but the assumption is the perchei kunana might be aroused and they'll go after other women and it'll cause problems. In other words, we're not just worried that they're going to go after her specifically. The whole situation might arouse them. Amaraba gemire ein yetzahara shalet ela b'mishen avroot. The yetzahara only is by women that they actually see, okay? So the assumption is the naked woman is the one who's the concern and not anybody else. And therefore, there's a concern by the sota woman, right? And not by the woman who's getting stoned. Because the woman who's getting stoned will be dead and we're only worried about her per se. Amarava, or about the men as connected to her. That's the first answer. Amarava, it's very nice that you gave this answer, he says, but de Rabbi Yehuda kasha. If you look at the even the way I did it on the chart, Rabba only related to the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda, but he didn't relate at all to the contradiction in the opinion of Chachamim. He only explained it in one direction. Why Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Hirhor when it comes to Sota, and he's not concerned when it comes to stoning, but he didn't explain Rabbi Yehuda, Chachamim. So Rava says, de Rabbi Yehuda kashya, de Rabbana lo kashya. In other words, you treated it as if it was just a kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda, but is it not also that Rabbanan contradict each other? So therefore, that can't be the reason because it doesn't satisfy the contradiction of Chachamim. Ella Amarava, it's not that he says it's not, he just says you didn't say enough. So Ella Amarava, de Rabbi Yehuda lo kashya, kiddushanina. So he says, I agree with your answer when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm going to add now the Chachamim. Okay? In other words, you didn't do that part. De Rabbana nami lo kashya, why? Amar kra, it's a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'nivasru kol anashim, v'lo te'asena kezimatchena. All the women will be punished, and everyone will see, and they won't do like those other women. Hacha, ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh. So what does he say? When it comes to the sota woman, what do we want? Right? Chachamim say there, we rip off her clothes. Why? Because we want to show all the other women that they shouldn't do like this woman. So by tearing her clothes, all the women are going to realize, first of all, it was a sexual aveira that she did. So it also makes sense. They want to totally humiliate this woman so that other women won't do like them. But hacha, when it comes to stoning, ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh. There's no, when everybody's watching this woman get stoned, there's no greater humiliation than that. So there's no need to also strip her of her clothing to humiliate her further. People will already see from the stoning and they'll learn not to do like that. What's interesting is they don't relate to the fact that she'll, I guess the assumption here, if she actually, her stomach blows up, so first of all, it might not have happened at that exact moment. We learned that it could happen down the road. So they want some sort of humiliation that's going to happen right then. We saw cases where she might have a schud, and it might happen a little bit later. She might get killed a few years later even. It could be she'll be innocent, but they still want to make a spectacle that even if she's innocent, they want to show she obviously did something wrong. What did she do wrong? We have witnesses that she went and was alone with this man that her husband had already suspected her of. So even though she might not be guilty, she's somewhat guilty. And they want women to know, don't get yourselves into this situation. We learned about this in Sota in general, that the whole ceremony of Sota is really preventative. Right? They never really wanted to get to a Sota situation. It was unlikely they even happened very much. But it was all to prevent women from acting a certain way, and this fits in with that theory that the whole type of way they do it is to as a deterrent. So now, the Gemara asks a good question, which is, why don't you just humiliate this stoning woman both ways? Both stone her and strip her of her clothes. Why, you know, why wouldn't you just do both? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, Amar Kra, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, bror lo mita yafa. Okay, this is the concept we saw before about why they take the man's clothes off in order for him to die quicker. So for the woman, we're going to say, "Bror lo mita yafa." We don't want to humiliate her in two ways. Let's just humiliate her once by the fact that she's getting killed, but not by taking her clothes off. So now, if he's explaining Shita Chachamim according to Rav Nachman in this way, that Chachamim hold Bror lo mita yafa, and that's why we don't strip her. Lema to Rav Nachman Tanaihi? Are you trying to say that not everyone agrees Bror lo mita yafa? Because Rabbi Yehuda says we strip her of her clothes. So is that because he doesn't hold, pick the easiest death for them? Lo. No, that's not the case. Dekule alma eat luhu de Rav Nachman. Everybody agrees with Rav Nachman. V'hacha v'hakam miflagei, mar savar bizyone de inish adifa leitfei, minicha de gufei. They say that that the humiliation of the body, of killing a person, is much worse than stripping them of their clothes. And mar savar naicha de gufei adif mi bizyone. Oh, I'm sorry, it might be the opposite. Right, bizione de inish, right, it's worse to humiliate someone more than doing something to their body. And the other one says, nayacha de gufe, right, doing something to your body is worse than bizione, than embarrassing them by taking off their clothes. So if you say, 1 second, right, if you say bizione de inish adifle, he'd rather be humiliated, then we're going to say that, you know, the humiliation is worse, so we're going to do the least, right? We're going to basically stone her with her clothing on, okay? And if you say that the physical harm, right, this is a basic machloket, is physical harm worse or emotional, right, or emotional humiliation? Is it worse to be stoned or is it worse to be not clothed? Okay, so that affects what, you know, so we're going to say, bror lo mita yafar, we're going to do the least bad thing for her. Okay, so either we're going to stone her with her clothes, because stoning her is, because we're going to say there that it's a huge humiliation for her not to have her clothes on, so we're going to let her be clothed. Or if you say that physical is, if you say that it's more emotionally humiliating for her to be not clothed, then we're going to let her be clothed. And if you say it's worse to have her killed, then we're going to basically take off her clothes because it doesn't matter. Okay. New Mishnah. Beit haskila haya gavoa shtei komot. Echad min ha'edim dochafo amotnav. So the Beit haskila, they would bring her to the Beit haskila. She would go up two flights, two stories. One of the edim, or her or him, right? I'm thinking of her because we were just on the woman. But either which way, they throw either the woman or the man who's convicted of skila. One of the edim, okay, but there's a pasuk, we can look at it inside for a minute. It's the third one at the bottom of the page, very imperikud zayin, pasuk zayin. Yad ha'edim tieba barishona lahamito. The edim are supposed to be the first to kill, okay? The ones who testified against are the ones involved in killing the person. So the first aid pushes the person out the Beit HaSkila from two stories high. Ne'apach alibo. If he falls on his heart, meaning stomach down, they turn him over. Okay, so his back is on the floor. If he dies just by being pushed, then you're finished. You don't even have to put any stones on the person. If he didn't die yet, then the second witness comes, takes the stone, and puts it on his heart. Im meit ba yetsa, like we saw before, one evan is enough, and you're yotze. Vim lav, rigimato b'chol Yisrael, shenemar, yad edim tia b'bushona lahamito, and the continuation of that pasuk is, v'yad kol ha'am b'achrona. So the people only come in after each of the witnesses has done his part to try to kill the person. We'll see if that ever really happened soon. Okay, Tana, the Gemara brings a braita, v'koma shelo hare kan shalosh. Okay, you have the person's height, plus the height of the two stories. So it's as if the person is thrown three komot. Umi be'inan kule hai. Do you need to throw them from such a high height? Ureminhu. It says I forget if there's a Mishnah or a Braita. We saw this in Bava Kama. Uma borshu kedei lahamit asarat tvachim. Av kol kedei lahamit asarat tvachim. The assumption is that a boar that's 10 tefachim deep is enough to kill someone. Okay, so therefore anything that's 10 tefachim that somebody falls into is that yesh bo kedei lahamit is asarat tefachim. So asarat tefachim should be enough. So why do we throw the person from such a high height? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Amar Kra. This is the same Rav Nachman we saw before, same statement. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha bor lo mita yafa. If we throw them from a higher height, they'll die quicker. Okay, right, if you throw someone for 10 tefachim, they're not going to die so quick. By the way, the Yerushalmi has a good answer to this. And they say there's a difference between someone who falls in a pit and wasn't expecting to fall. There, I don't know if this is scientifically true, but you could see that maybe there'd be some logic to this. It's much easier for them. They'll die much quicker than someone who knows he's being pushed into a bore, because the person can somehow come up with some way to protect themselves and keep themselves together. But when you fall unexpectedly, then ten tefachim will kill you. But if you are being pushed, you can somehow, you know, prevent yourself from getting killed. So therefore, it's a different answer. And the Gemara gives here a second answer. Ihachi ligbehe tfe. I'm sorry, this is the question now. Ihachi ligbehe tfe. If you want to do bor lo mitayafa, why so short? Why don't you even go higher than that? And then they'll really for sure die. So what do they answer? Mishum de minavel. If you do that, it'll be a total humiliation because, let's get graphic, the parts will go flying all over the place and it'll be really unpleasant, right? Too high is not good either, okay? It'll be going overboard. So we want them to die quickly, but we don't want it to be a total humiliation. By the way, you see this. This is like a lot of things in halakha. There's concepts here that we have to always keep in check. So they're constantly struggling here between, on the one hand, we want to make a spectacle, and we want people to know this person's getting killed, and we want to do that. On the other hand, we don't want to go too far and embarrass them too much. And also, we want to make them die as quickly as possible to prevent the pain. So we have all these conflicting things that we have to kind of work in together and come up with a fine balance, you know, how to keep them all in check. Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shebidchia. Okay, this braita is talking about a specific case, which is, okay, you can look at the pasuk in Shmot, Yutep, Pasuk Yugimel, the first pasuk on the page, under the chart. Lo tigabo yad ki sako yisakelo yaro yare im behemayim ish lo yichye b'mshoche yovel hema yalu bahar. What's the context here? Matan Torah. When they're getting to Matan Torah, what does God say? Nobody can get close to the mountain. And if you do, sako yisakel o yaro yare. Okay, he'll get killed, or yaro yare, we're going to say he'll get killed by pushing. Okay? Like push out of somewhere or push down. So, minayin shebidchia, how do we know that the people who were going to touch the mountain at Matan Torah were going to get killed by dechia, by being pushed? Tamud lamar, yira. Uminayin shebiskila, and how do we know they're going to get skila? Tamud lamar, sako. Uminayin shebiskila ubitchia. In other words, how do we know that if one didn't kill them, we kill them the other way, right? We do both, which sounds very similar, right? We push in our case, right? And then we do skila if the pushing didn't work. How do we know that you get both if you were at Matan Torah and you touched the mountain? Talmud lamar, sakol yisakel o yaro yare. Okay, it sounds like you get, right, one, or you could get both. Uminayin shemeit b'tchia yatza. How do you know that if you got killed just by pushing, it would be enough? Talmud lamar, o yaro yare. It doesn't say you have to do both, right? It says either or. So it shows that either or could be sufficient. Minayin sha'af l'dorot ken. Ah, now how do we know that we can learn from here for all other instances of skila? Talmud lamar, sakol yisakel. The double lashon of sakol yisakel comes to teach you for the future also. Okay, it doesn't explain why yaro yare would be double also. Again, it's a drasha. But what they're trying to say is that really, if you read this sugya a little differently, you say they're learning the fact that the person gets pushed out of the Beit HaSkel. You might have thought, where does this pushing come from? Now you see the pasuk where it comes from. It comes to that pasuk about Matan Torah, which puts skila together with this pushing. Okay. V'im lav, if he doesn't get killed from the pushing, Eir HaSheni notel et ha'evan. Notel, he picks up the stone. V'hatanya, don't we have a braita that says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Evan haitasham, there was an Evan in the Beit HaMikdash, or truth is, where did this Evan sit? Does it say there where it sat? I'm not sure, but there was an Evan maybe in the Beit HaSkila.
Yes, there was the execution site.
Okay, in the Beit HaSkila, there was an Evan that always sat there. Masoy shnei b'nei adam. It was heavy that two people had to carry it. So that's our question. It said the second aid takes the rock. Now how can he take the rock? It's an Evan, according to the Braita, that only two people can carry. Note, and then what does he do? Notzlava notzna alibo. He takes it and puts it on her heart. We're just continuing in the Braita. Imet ba yatsa. Okay, and if he dies by it, then he's yotze. So now they say, wait a minute. Even if you're to say, right, now the first question is, it's masoy shnei b'nei adam. based on this Braita. But they say, but the Braita itself doesn't make any sense, because look at the Braita. And it's not that the Braita contradicts our Mishnah. The Braita itself has a contradiction. V'litamech tikshelach yigufa. It in itself is contradictory. It says, Masoy shnei b'nei adam. And then it says, notes lava, notes na alibo. That's singular. So if it's Masoy shnei b'nei adam, even in the Braita it says, he takes it and puts it on her heart. So Ella, so what must it be? He lifts it with his friend, and then the friend takes away his hands. What happens then? The friend takes away his hands and he places it by himself. What's the reason? Because otherwise, it'll be more effective if he puts it himself, because if two people try to throw a ball, what happens? They can't aim properly together. It's much more complicated. One person throws it, he can aim exactly where he wants it to be. So if he's going to drop it, if two people are going to drop it on the person's heart, it might not necessarily kill them, as we'd rather try to kill them. So we're going to basically have two of them lift it because it's too heavy, but then one's going to take away his hands and the other one's going to place it on the person's heart. Even though you could imagine, right, depending on the situation, how far they are, I don't know how much you really need to aim, and really, in theory, two people could do it, but maybe they want each aide to also have a, you know, their own role.
V'im lav regibato. It's too big for a person to hold by himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was imagining?
No, that's why they both need to carry it together, but why does only one need to place it? Right. Why, in the end, does only one need to place it? By the way, what's this whole concept of the aiding being the ones to kill?
They're responsible.
They're I assume it's a, again, deterrent. It's to it's deterrent. It's a deterrent. To deter them from lying falsely. Because it's not only, you know, it's easier, let's say, I don't know how easy, it's easier to convict someone to a death sentence than to actually
carry it out.
So it's another, right, we have a lot of things. Like I said, it refers back to the Sota. A lot of our halachot are deterrents to make sure these things never really happen. You know, certainly not. And in this case, it's okay if it happens if they're really guilty. But if the guy's not guilty, it's to prevent people from lying. V'im lav regimato. Sorry, I forgot what this is. V'im lav, if not, then regim to b'chol Yisrael, right? Then everybody comes and kills him. So now they say, v'hatanya, Me'olam lo shana ba'adam. Never happened that they had to do it twice. The rock was only put once. It never happened. Okay, this is like one of those things, right? Lo haya v'lo nivra. Never happened that a person didn't die first. So how could the Mishnah say that if he doesn't die, then everybody stones him? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're comparing apples and oranges. Mika amina da'avid. The Mishnah didn't say that you have to do that. What it said is, di mitzrach ka'amina. If for whatever reason it doesn't happen, not that it, right? You'll never get to this. But if for whatever reason the person didn't die, some crazy thing happened, and the person didn't die from the rock, then everyone would come out and kill. But it's not right, which makes sense, because if you think about it, I can't imagine all of Yisrael coming out to stone the person, right? It's just not feasible that all of a sudden, first of all, it's strange to then ask all the people to go kill this person. So what they're saying is, in theory, that's what's supposed to happen if, for whatever reason, it doesn't work with the Adim, you know, and then we're done with the Adim. But you'll never get to that situation.
Didn't that happen with
Achan? Everybody killed him? It says, yeah, but I don't think they're the Adim. There were no Adim. So right. No Adim came first, so everybody stoned him. But again, whether the text is describing something that actually happened or symbolic of the fact that all the people kind of are, you know, almost, it's that they're no longer responsible, right? Because they were punished, mm-hmm. And maybe it's symbolic. I don't know if they actually really killed him. But anyway, that was before the Sanhedrin, right? This is after. Amar Mar, Evan Haita. Okay, so now they say there was this rock sitting there. So now, in the Beit HaSkila, V'ha Tanya, Achat Evan Sheniskalba, V'achat Eit Shenitlala, V'achat Saif Shenehragbo, V'achat Sudar Shenechnakbo, Kulan Nikbarin Imo. It says that we bury the implement that was used to kill them, whatever their mitap etim was. So how could you say there was always an evan there? Because every time they used the evan, it got buried with the person. They always made sure there was a rock there. It wasn't always the same rock. It got switched every time. Again, how often this happened, we know that they didn't really kill very often. Nikbarin imo, it was buried with him. V'hatanya, ein nikbarin imo. It says they're not buried with him. Amara Papa, my imo, imo b'tfisato. What do they mean? It's not buried in his actual burial spot, but it's buried within four amot of him. Okay, so there's two sources. One means it's not buried actually with him. The other one means, well, it's buried near him. Amar Shmuel, nikta'a yad ha'edim. Okay, it says, yad ha'edim tiyebo barishona. What if the A got his arm chopped off, he doesn't have an arm? Patur. Okay, now the person actually doesn't get killed because we're missing, we can't fulfill the pasuk as it said. My time, debi'inan yad ha'edim tiyebo barishona v'leikam. We don't have that. So now they say, wait a minute. But elamayat ha'edim gidmim t'meikara hachinami depsile. So if you're going to have Adim who see somebody kill and they happen to have no arms or no hands, so what? They can't testify against him. So what are the answers? Shanehatan damakra yad ha'edim shahaita kfar. Okay. In other words, if you didn't have hands, then you can testify and then you won't kill him. But if you did have hands. So the hands of the Adim, the testified with hands, has to be there to kill him. And therefore, if the person testified and they had hands, and then they no longer have hands when it comes to implementing the death sentence, they can't implement it the way it says in the Torah, and therefore they can't kill him. But if it was a person who didn't have hands to begin with, that's okay. They can testify, and then, you know, there's no, like, chisaron here, because it never existed. Meitive. Now we have a contradiction against this halacha of Shmuel, that nikta'a yada Adim patur. If two witnesses come forward and said, we're testifying about this person, we're testifying about this person that we saw he was convicted by this court, okay, by so-and-so's court, and these were his witnesses, basically, someone can come forward and testify that he had a Gemar Din in some other place, that someone else had a Gemar Din in some other place, and based on their testimony, you can kill someone. In other words, you don't always only have to come and say, we saw him kill. No, we saw him convicted, but he ran away, and now we found him in some other city, and you know we know he was convicted in the other city. And obviously, they don't have record of it. They're just basing it on the Adim's testimony. So how can you say that some other person can testify that he can get killed? Because in this case, the Adim aren't here anymore, right? Yad Adim tiye bavarishona. And you can't fulfill that. So Tirgum HaShmuel, behein hein edav. Shmuel says that in this source they're talking about, the Adim themselves went to the other court and said, we saw that he was convicted in us, and we were the Adim. It's a little difficult because the text says, uploni uploni edav. It doesn't say, and I was, right, we were the Adim. But that's how he explains it. And therefore, he says, now they're going to ask a basic question on Shmuel Shita. Umi be'inan krake dichtiv? Does the pasuk always have to match exactly the way the pasuk described it? In other words, when you have descriptive psukim, yad ha'edim tiyeh bo barishona, does that mean that if the yad ha'edim can't be there, you can't fulfill, and the person doesn't get killed? Do we always go exactly as the pasuk says? And now we're going to bring a bunch of cases. The hatanya, mot yumatar makeh, Rotzeachu, he has to get killed, right? This is, if someone murders, he's supposed to get killed. Emi ela b'mitak tuvabo, right? This makes it seem that he gets killed by the mitah that he's deserving. So if he's a rotzeach, he gets killed by saif, by herek. So by a sword. Minayin shimiyatayachol ha'mito b'mitak tuvabo. The Brita continues, but how do you know that if you can't kill him by the mitah he's supposed to get? Let's say he's supposed to get skila and there's no rocks or there's no beta skila that you can throw him from or there's no, whatever reason, you can't kill him. So, Talmud Lamar, mot yumat ha-makeh, mikol makom. So the Pasuk says, mot yumat, okay, it's in Bamibra Lamed Hey, you can see it in the Pesukim at the bottom. I have bolded it and underlined it. Mot yumat ha-makeh, rotzeachu, mot yumat comes to say any way you want to kill him. So here you see, it doesn't have to be exactly the way the pasuk said. So what are the answers? Shanei hatam damakra mot yumat. That's specifically because it says mot yumat. So they say, v'ligmar mine. Why don't we say that this is what we call a binyan av? Because it says it by mot yumat and it comes to include any way of killing, we should be able to learn from here to everywhere, of every other situation, that things don't have to be exactly the way they were said in the pasuk. Because we have a concept that if something appears in one place, we can learn from it to other places. But what are the answer? Mishum dehavi rotzeach v'goel adam shnei ketuvim abim keechad. V'kol shnei ketuvim abim keechad ein melamdim. We have a concept that if something appears once, it's a binyan av, but if it appears twice, then you can't learn from it to other places. So what's the twice here? Two psukim before it says, goel adam hu yamit et harotzeach. This is a rotzeach b'shogeg. If he leaves the ir miklat, b'figo bo hu yimitenu. So what do they say here? Rotzeach Adamaran, that's our, we already learned it. Goel Adam, Maihi. Where do we learn Goel Adam? Detanya. Goel Adam Yamita Tarotzeach. Mitzvah be Goel Adam. It's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam Lamita Tarotzeach. Uminayin. So if somebody leaves the ear miklat, the Goel Adam can kill him. Minayin Shim Ein Lo Goel. Shebeitin Mamidim Lo Goel. How do we know if there's no relative, the Beitin assigns someone to be responsible to kill this guy who left the ear miklat? How do we know that? Shneemar Befig Obo Mikol Makom. Befig Obo, right as he attacks him, or as he, when he comes upon him, from there we learn that anyone can come upon him. Basically, the Beitin can appoint someone to be the Goel Adam. So now we have two instances where they say, if it can't be done the way the Torah says, right, then you still do it. But it's only in those two places, and it's specifically in two places, and that teaches you that we can't learn from two places to the whole Torah kula. Amalei mar kashisha bered rav chisel rav ashi, umi lo be'inan kra kedichtiv. But there's another place. Do we not need the kra to be like it says? Behatnan hayacham mehem gidem oilem ochiger osuma ochiresh. This is a Ben Sorer Moreh. There's all these psukim. I brought them at the bottom. You can look at them on your own. From Torim Kaf Aleph. It's all these psukim that says he doesn't listen to his parents, and Vitafsubo, they grab him. So it has to be Velogidmim, not people who don't have hands. The parents have to have hands. Votsiyoto, Velochi Green. Has to be people who can walk and take him out. Amru, Velo Ilmim, they have to say to him, they have to say, Beneinu Zesorer Moreh. If they can't speak, then there's no Ben Sorer Moreh. Beneinu Ze, meaning they have to point to him, Velo Sumin, if they're blind and they can't say, this is my son, with seeing him, then it's no good. Einenu Shomea Bekoleinu, Velo Chershin, they can't be deaf, because right, they have to be able to hear. My Taima, Lav Mishum Debi'in on Krak Yedichtiv, is this not because we need the pasuk to be exactly as it says? So they say, Lo, Shane Hatam, Dekule Kra Yeterehu. Okay, it's different here because the pasuk didn't need to go through all these words to describe what they do to the Ben Sorer Moreh. So it's a unique halacha by Ben Sorer Moreh that has to be exactly this way, but not because it's always that the kra has to be exactly as it's said. Okay, one second. So this was sort of to support Shmuel from this, but we end up not being able to support Shmuel from this because we say this is unique. Okay, we'll just go on quickly to the Mishnah. Tashma, Ein la rechov, Ein aset irani dachet divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Here's another attempt. This is an attempt to prove Shmuel. If there's no street, it's Ein anaset irani dachet because you're supposed to bring all the stuff from the irani dachet to the rechovah shel ir, according to the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva omer, Ein la rechov, osin la rechov. And when you don't have a street, you make a street, okay? It didn't have to be there before. You create a street in order to bring all the stuff. Like a kikar, really. It's like a center. Ad kan lo plige ela de mar sava rechova de meikar abina no mar sava rechova de hashtanami ked meikar adami aval kule alma beinan kra kedichtiv. According to this, what do they say? The machloket isn't about whether you need to do it like the pasuk says. Everyone agrees it has to be like the pasuk says. It's just a matter of, do you need to create a situation so that the pasuk could be fulfilled, or does it need to have been there from beforehand? But everyone agrees, and this would prove Shmuel. So now the answer, though, they say, actually, it's a machloket tanaihi. Ditnan, this is also something we learned. Today was a lot of review. Ein lo bohen yad, bohen regel, ozen yamanit, ein lo tahara olamit. Remember, the mitzora has to put the blood on al tnuch ozen yamanit, al bohen yado yamanit. He has to do all the stuff on the right side of his body. What if he doesn't have? So, right, let's say he doesn't have a right ear. He doesn't have a finger on the right, the bohen yad or the bohen regel. So he can't ever be tahor. So that would be, right? The kra has to be kedichtiv. That would be, you can only do it the way the pasuk says. But there's a three-way machloket here. Rabbi Lezer Omer, noten al mekomo biyotze. He puts it in the place where he should have a finger, or he should have an ear. Okay, so if he doesn't have it, he puts it in that place. Rabbi Shimon Omer, noten al smolo biyotze. He can do it on his left side. If he has a left finger, so then he does it on his left finger. Or a left toe, he does it on his left toe. So in the end, we conclude that whether you need the kra kedichtiv is a machloket tanaim. Okay, so Shmuel sides on one side, but there's other opinions as well.